song made me think I should have preached on the rapture this morning, but I haven't chosen that. I've been studying all week in the Psalm 139. This psalm, as far as I can determine in my study, teaches the omniscience of God as clearly as and as personally as any portion of scripture I've ever read. And I'm not trying to dazzle you with big words, but omniscience simply means all knowledge. God knows all things. Never been to school, didn't graduate from Harvard, but he knows everything. More than anybody who ever went to Harvard knows. God knows. And as we read this, just follow with me in your Bible and try to understand what these words are saying. When we begin in verse 1, O Lord, the word is in all caps. You'll see that in your Bibles. And it means this is Jehovah, Jehovah God, the ever-existing, self-existent God. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there's not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, it is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee, when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. We stop reading with verse 18. This, as I said, is a psalm, a personal psalm of David's knowledge, of God's knowledge of himself. I hope I didn't tongue twist that, but David is writing about how well God knows him. And he wrote this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit for you that are here today. You need to have the understanding that David had. You may not even be saved, but this will help you to understand who God is. He is an all-knowing God. Nothing's hid from him. The darkness won't hide, as we read. The darkness won't hide anything from him. Lost memory won't hide anything from me. Nothing you can do will ever remove the fact that God knows you, every part of you. Let's go over these verses back again clearly, and we'll make some comments about each of these. David is writing concerning Jehovah, the same one that sent Moses down into Egypt to draw the children of Israel out of bondage. Jehovah. And David says concerning the Lord, thou hast searched me. That means you've examined me throughout. You searched me. It was interesting as you read the last verse in this 139th Psalm, the last two verses, I guess it is. Verse 23 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I read that and I realized, while we can understand and should understand that God can search us, He knows us inside out, any way you look at it. And yet David, knowing this, still asked God to continue to search him, look for anything that was wrong in him, to lead him in the way everlasting. So David begins this psalm with this statement, thou hast searched me and known me. I love this word, known, one of my favorite words in the Bible. It simply means that you've understood me in every way. We'll make more about that as we read further. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. No matter where you are, at what point in your life, at what time during the day, no matter where you go, God is always there. He knows about it. But notice the last part of this, thou understandest my thought afar off. He knows what we're thinking. We may never express it verbally. We may never say it out loud. But God knows when we think it. I thought about the Lord Jesus Christ, and so many times in his ministry, the Bible reveals this. For example, when they brought the lame man and they took the roof off and they laid him down in front of the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus said, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And the Pharisees murmured, who can forgive sins but God only? If you read that account in the Gospels, you'll see that the Bible says Jesus, knowing their thought, said unto them, whether it's easy to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise, take up thy bed and walk, that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, I say, rise, take up your bed and walk. And he did that very thing. Or when Jesus recorded in Matthew chapter 5, you've heard that it hath been said, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto thee, if you look upon a woman to lust after her, you have committed all adultery already with her in your heart. Thou understandest my thought afar off, before you even think it, before I even think the things I might think. God understands it. He knows why we think it. He knows what causes us to think what we think. He knows the things that tempt us, the things that cause us to think bad things or good things. God understands us. Now, I know this may be too much for you to grasp in our human limits, but this was written by David under the inspiration of the Spirit of God for our benefit. We need to know God. We need to know who He is. We need to know the power that He has. We need to know that He understands so much about, we can't hide from Him. reading verse 3, thou compassest my path and my lying down. You have a purpose in where I go. And you know where I'm going. And you're with me as I'm going. And when I lie down, you know about it. We lie down, we close our eyes, we go to sleep. For all intents, we're out of it, so to speak. If you have dreams, God knows about that too. But if you just go into a deep sleep, God's still there. Hebrews chapter number 13, verse number 6 tells us, I'll never leave thee, I'll never forsake thee. Now, how could he say that unless he would be with us when we stand up to walk, when we go here and we go there, when we lay down to go to sleep? He won't even leave us while we're resting. Verse 4 says, for there's not a word in my tongue. But lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. You even know what I'm contemplating saying before I say it. If there's a word, or there's not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. That's the same word. The word knowest is the same word as we find in verse 1, that's known me. Genosko. I've talked to the church sometimes about that word. That was the first Greek word I ever learned when I was saved. And I treasure that word. I don't know any Greek. I don't even know a little Greek that works downtown. But I don't know any Greek. But I learned a few Greek words. And I'll tell you, they're helpful. That word, gnosko, is used many times in the New Testament, written in Greek. But David says, thou knowest it altogether. You know what caused me to think to say it? You know what might prevent me from saying it? But he knows all about it. Every word, every emphasis. Beloved, we're talking about God. I want you to see this morning how glorious he is declaring himself to be through the apostle and prophet, really, David. He wasn't an apostle, but he was a prophet long before Christ came. He wrote this book about 1,000 years before Christ came into the world. And then as Jesus went about doing miracles so many times, it reveals that Jesus knowing their thoughts. Jesus discerning what they were going to do, he would do such and such. Because Jesus is God. Verse 5. Thou hast beset me behind and before. That literally means you have confined me. You're with me. You're above me. You're underneath me. You're before me and you're behind me. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. Laid thine hand upon me. Paul says in the book of Acts, in him we live and breathe and have our being. So he's always with us. When God's not with you, you're dead. Even as a lost person. Every breath you draw is by the permissive will of God. Verse 6 says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. How about you? Such knowledge is too wonderful. It staggered David. Now, David was a man who had a lot of understanding with God. Remember, God said he was a man after his own heart. God knew David, and he's writing here how well he knew him. Before he ever called him, before he ever anointed him to be king, he knew David's heart. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain to it. I cannot really discern what I'm even thinking and what I'm writing down. It's too much for me. But this is God, beloved. This is the one that we're here to worship today. This is the one that sent his son into the world to save sinners. This is the one that created the heavens and the earth. This is the one that sustains everything. The sun came up this morning. I saw it come up over the horizon because he made it come up. It'll set this evening by his design, by his will, if it sets. He even has that under control. I cannot attain unto it. As I said in Sunday school class, and I think I'm emphasizing it again here, you can't go to school to get this. There's no college in America or in the world anywhere that can really teach you this. This is heart taught. You can only understand this if the Spirit of God speaks to your heart and your understanding and lets you really grasp what David say. It's too much. It's beyond comprehension that God should know all of this about me, that God should so contain me and constrain me that he knows which path I'm going to take before I take it. Verse 7, whither shall I go from thy spirit? You know, this kind of knowledge about God causes people to want to hide. They want to get away from it. They don't want God to know everything they're doing. They don't want God to know everything they're thinking. Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? That word presence means from his face. It tells you he sees you. Everything you do, God sees it. And you can't flee from it. There's no place to go. Now, he gives a few examples. If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. Or certainly he's there. That's where his abide is. That's where he abides. That's where his abode is. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. Now, he's speaking this figuratively because David don't want to make a bed in hell. But if he could, God would be there. He's not only an all-knowing God, an omniscient God, but he is an omnipotent God, which means he has all power. He's an omnipresent God, which means he's everywhere. You can't flee from him. You can't hide from him. There's no place you can go that he's not there. Verse 9, if I take the wings in the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me. Thy right hand shall hold me. That's precious. You know, the right hand of God is something we need to identify with. Jesus tells us in John chapter number 10, you remember this, I trust I won't have to turn and read it. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And then he says, we're in the Father's hand. First of all, he says, they're in my hand. And then he says, I'm in the Father's hand. Therefore, we're in the Father's hand. So the statement that David makes here is long before Christ came into the world. Thy right hand shall hold me, no matter where I am. That means you can't get out of the hand of God. To believe in the Lord Jesus Christ is to ensure yourself that God will always be holding you in his hand. Jesus Christ will always hold you in his hand. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. No matter where you can't get away from it. It was an act that God performed. It wasn't something you did. We're saved by grace through faith. That not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. God picks us up in his hand. And David's aware of that. Verse 11 says, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me. You know, most sin and wickedness takes place after dark. Go to these big cities where there's so much wickedness. And you go there in the morning, kind of quiet, nothing going on. But you go there after dark, it's an entirely different place because people have this idea that nobody will know about it if I do it after dark. They even think God won't know about it. But surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. We can't hide from God. We want to when we're lost. It's frightening to realize that such a person as this gave us life. He brought us into the world. I know you came forth from your mother's womb, but God gave you life. Many babies are born dead, but you're alive this morning. And you have one person to thank for that. Yes, you can thank your mother. She carried you in her womb and went through the pain of childbirth and brought you into this world in that sense, but God gave you life. Your first breath came from God. You question that? Read in Genesis when God made man in the beginning. God made man in his own image and breathed into him the breath of life. Everyone that has life today has it because of one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is life. He gives life. And if you have life today, you need to be aware he's not far from you. As long as you're alive, you have life. It came from him. That's what Paul was talking about. In him, we live and breathe and have our being. When he takes that breath away, we don't have any being anymore. Reading further, verse 13. For thou hast possessed my reins. That word rein means my soul, that inner part of us that feels and thinks and reasons. Thou hast possessed, and the word possessed means purchased. David was a saved man. God purchased his soul. He redeemed him the same way he redeemed us through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He purchased David. He purchased my reins. Thou's covered me in my mother's womb. Before he was born, while he was still in the womb. You know, if you have several instances of that in the Bible, remember John the Baptist? When Jesus' mother came into the presence of his mother Elizabeth, John the Baptist leaped in the womb of his mother. He recognized his Savior. She had been, of course, she'd conceived and was with child, being the Lord Jesus Christ, and John leaped. He was 6 months in the womb of Elizabeth, but he recognized the Lord Jesus Christ even in that condition. But David says, thou hast possessed me, my reins, and covered me in my mother's womb. Verse 14, I will praise thee. I love this verse, and I quote it sometimes when I see something staggering in my life and my physical being and things that happen to me. I'll praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I read a book one time by Dr. Brown about the human body and how it has been designed and how it gives great glory to God in every aspect. It's all worked so infinitely together. And God has so designed the human body that it all brings glory to him. And David said, I'll praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. That my soul knoweth right well. He recognized a human body is the apex of God's creation. Of all the things that God created, he's created some wonderful things. As far as the physical realm is concerned, nothing can compare with the human body of man and with woman. And he designed the two of them to procreate the earth. And we're still here today because of it. My soul knoweth right well. How about you? Do you know just how wonderfully you're made? Do you know what it takes to keep you alive? Do you have any idea what's going on to enable you to live and breathe and have your being? How much power it takes to keep you alive? Satan would destroy you in an instant if he could. But he can't. Because God keeps you alive. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I've experienced some of the things medically that make me say that. I've got a pacemaker. Keeps me going. Doctor said I couldn't make it without it. My heart was down to about 35 beats a minute when they implanted that thing. I was just slowly, my heart was just giving up. But they put that little device there. And it keeps my heart beating at the right time. But you know, that wouldn't have been possible except God gave men the ability to do something like that. Now, I've got so much to thank God for. I don't want to get into that because it gets away from what I want to say, and that is how great God is. Verse 15 says, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret. You were formed in secret. Now they've got so now they can take, while you're in the womb, they can take pictures and say, well, that's going to be a boy. That's going to be a girl. But they can't tell what color eyes it's going to be or what your hair is going to be. They can't tell a lot about you except you're male or female. When David wrote this, they couldn't even do that because God had not permitted it yet. But he says this, my substance was not hid from thee. In other words, God knew he was going to be David before anybody else did. When I was made, I love that word made, in the secret and curiously wrought. I love the words curiously wrought in the English, in the Greek and in the Hebrew. It means to weave a pattern as if you were crocheting something. Can you believe that? David is describing what God was doing in the womb when he was forming us to be who we are. He uses an example of a woman weaving something out of cloth and interweaving and weaving it together so that it would come out and be something profitable and something useful. My substance was not hid from thee. It was hid from everybody else. Even his mother didn't know he was going to be a boy. There was going to be a king. There was going to bring great glory to God, that he was going to be a man after God's own heart. But God knew it. And curiously wrought. Kind of like needlework. That's the way it's described in the Hebrew. It's like needlework. In the lowest parts of the earth, in the womb of a woman, God is working. He's working some needlework. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect. You know, sometimes babies are born with problems physically. Maybe members missing. But David says, thine eyes did see my substance, and that word has to do with the bones, yet being unperfect, they had not yet been completely formed. You know, if you studied biology at all, how a baby is formed slowly in the womb. And in thy book my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. God knew I would be 5'6". That's what he wanted me to be. Don't complain about who you are. Don't be envious of other people. You're exactly who God wanted you to be. He made you just exactly like he wants you. You ought to be thankful for that. He made you who you are. Now that causes a lot of problems in this world. A lot of psychological problems. They don't want to be who they are. But God made you who you are. He made you exactly who he wants you to be. And we need to recognize that, and we need to honor him and thank him. He's the one that wrought the needlework. And when you complain about that, or you want to be somebody else, you're kind of quarreling against your maker. He didn't want you to do that. David didn't do that. Remember, in verse 14, he said, I will praise thee. Praise God for who you are. Don't want to be somebody else. You're exactly who God wanted you to be. Let's finish now. In verse 17, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. Every human being that's living should recognize that and should be able to say that. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me. If God ever stops thinking about you, you could die. The Bible tells us in John 1, in him was life. And the life was the light of men. Jesus lights everything that has life. Animal life, plant life, human life. The Lord Jesus Christ keeps it alive. He keeps you alive. Why don't you recognize that? Why don't you humble yourself and say, thank you, God, for making me who I am. I'm not happy with being who I am. I know how silly that is. I want to be 6'5" like Brother Gormley, but it never happened. God didn't want me to be 6'5". God didn't need two Brother Gormleys. One was enough. He wanted me to be who I am. I'm not always happy with who I am, but that's not God's fault. If you know yourself, you know what I'm talking about. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. There's another psalm that speaks about this very thing. I think it's Psalm 34. I didn't write it down, but how precious are thy thoughts toward me. To make me what he wanted me to be, to put me where he wanted me to be, I'm here because God wants me here. I'm here because God put me here. I remain here because God wants me to remain here. And when God wants me to leave, he'll open the way and I'll leave. But until then, how precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. I mean, everything is included. Can you even try to understand that every aspect of your life is included? There's no part of your life that God doesn't know about. There's no part of your life that God doesn't control, either directly or indirectly, by things that he brings into our life. Verse 18 says, if I should count them, it literally means if I could count them, they're more in number than the sand. You ever try to number the sand? You can't number the sand. God purposely inspired David to write it this way. If I should try to count them, they're more than the sand. That's how much God thinks on you. You're alive today because God thinks on you. You'll continue to live because God thinks on you. I thank God for his salvation. He thinks on all that are alive, but he thinks in a special way on those that trust him. You should be able to understand that. Those that honor him by humbling themselves and saying, Lord, forgive me, I've sinned. Let the work of Jesus Christ apply to me. Let him be my Savior. To honor God by honoring his Son. Jesus said that so many times in the Gospels. He that honoreth me, honoreth my Father who sent me. We need to honor him. If we should try to count all the ways that God thinks about us, we couldn't, because they're more in number than the sand. And then we'll close with this last verse. When I awake, I'm still with thee. When we lie down, he's still with us. We go into dreamland. We go to sleep. And when we wake up, you know why we wake up? He wakes us up. Say, well, I woke myself up this morning. I don't think so. That rooster woke me up. Well, I could tell you about a rooster that woke Peter up. Want to hear that story? Remember Peter said, I'll never deny you. And Jesus said, this night, before the cock crowed thrice, you'll deny me. What happened? Did Jesus know Peter? Did he know him inside, outside, every way you can know a person? He knew him. He knew what he would do. And he did exactly what Jesus said he would. Oh, I preach this morning that you might know God better. Know how close he is to you. Know how much you owe him. You owe him your life. You owe him every material thing that you have. You owe him praise. You owe him love. You owe him respect. You need to honor him for who he is. As Tim said this morning, he's not as other gods. Go out and cut you down a tree and stake a bottom on it and call it your God, but it can't speak to you. Can't hear you. Can't answer your prayers. That's not a God. Jehovah is God. The Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior. I pray this morning if you're lost, you'll consider this. And know how much and how close God is to you and how much he knows about you. You can't hide your sin. He knows all about it. You can hide it from mom and dad, but you can't hide it from the Lord. Bow your heads. Father, thank you for your word. I pray you'd use it to encourage this church that we might understand how great you are. We sing that song with very little understanding. May this psalm help us to know just how glorious and how great you are, how much you're close to us, and how we're in your hand through the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.